From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, January 8th, 2021. Another record-breaking day in Maine for at least three of the metrics used to track COVID-19. The Maine CDC reported 782 new infections today. The state also reported a record high number of additional deaths, 41. Dr. Nirav Shah explained at a briefing that six of those deaths occurred over the last 48 hours and the remainder date back weeks following further CDC investigation.
After reviewing cases of death reports from vital records over the past few weeks, we identified these 35 individuals.
Shah says adding 41 to the death toll is sad and sobering, regardless of when the cases occurred. The state also reported a record 205 hospitalizations. According to the state's COVID-19 vaccine tracker, more than 46,000 doses of vaccine have been administered so far. Governor Janet Mills says the budget package she unveiled today would hold the line on spending and taxes through the middle of 2023. It also prioritizes short and midterm pandemic era needs like $5 million for testing, vaccines, and support for people in quarantine, and millions more to help vulnerable populations and their service providers. And Mills says she's boosting spending for K-12 education by $45 million to bring up minimum teacher pay, but also to help districts better manage in-person, remote, and hybrid teaching programs. She says educators and school staff
really pivoted in creative ways to try to keep our students on track. It's been extraordinarily difficult. I think it's one thing I worry about almost more than anything else is the learnings gap that our kids may encounter by not being personally in school to get that face-to-face education that we think is the most effective way to learn.
Mills says despite revenue losses driven by the pandemic, the state has averted catastrophic shortfalls, partly because the state treasury was in good shape before the lockdowns began, because of belt-tightening measures she and the legislature enacted since and emergency federal aid. A new analysis from the Maine Department of Labor indicates Maine's job loss has been worse during the pandemic than any recession in the past 50 years. The Press Herald reports more than 100,000 non-farm payroll jobs were lost between February and April of 2020. In weather tonight, mostly cloudy skies with snow ending in the north before midnight and lows in the teens statewide. Tomorrow, limited sun with highs in the mid-20s to the mid-30s. President-elect Joe Biden announced today that he wants to release nearly all available doses of the COVID-19 vaccine after he takes office on January 20th. Health officials in Maine have stressed the need for more doses to ramp up vaccinations. But as Patty White reports, Biden's plan could create new challenges for the state's rollout.
Details of Biden's plan aren't expected until next week, but his initial announcement to open the floodgates and ship nearly all available doses of the COVID-19 vaccine to states was met with caution by the director of the Maine CDC, Dr. Nirav Shah, on Friday. That's because it's unclear whether second doses would be held in reserve.
Under the current system, we've got greater assurances that when we give somebody a first dose, that there will be a second dose available for them.
If states no longer have that assurance, Shah says that creates a new set of logistical challenges. If Maine plows through its supply and gives more people first doses, he questions, what happens if there's a production delay and those individuals can't receive their second dose within the recommended time frame? And if the responsibility of holding second doses falls in states' laps, Shah says that requires more planning that could slow down the entire rollout.
Even though increased availability of vaccines is something that we welcome, if it means that we have to take steps to reserve or guard the second doses, we may not have the same throughput.
Maine has welcomed more doses for weeks after watching its expected allotment dip by more than 5,000 doses since the vaccine was first distributed in December. And the state's next allocation of 17,175 doses is just 100 more than what was received this week.
Candidly, we were hoping for increases in the volume. But next week, as with this week, it appears that the volume that we will receive will be flat.
The cumulative total is a little more than 99,000 doses, which is only enough to vaccinate 75% of those included in Phase 1A, which includes healthcare workers and residents of long-term care facilities. Shaw has declined to provide details about who may be prioritized in the next phase, 1B, which is expected to begin in early February and includes essential workers and adults 75 and older. He says it's difficult to solidify plans when the state is only given a 6-day notice of its future allotments. But Department of Health and Human Services Commissioner Jean Lambrew says she's encouraged by discussions she's already had with President-elect Biden's team.
I am cautiously optimistic that we will have a more coordinated, more two-way communication relationship with the incoming administration.
And Maine officials say they're looking for more specifics about Biden's plan to ship more doses. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
As you may have heard by now, Democratic Governor Janet Mills has released her 2-year budget proposal. We have brought in Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler to help break down the proposal. Steve, let's start with some of the budget basics before we get to the numbers. The spending plan is a proposal, and it's likely to go through some significant changes once the legislature starts working through it, right?
That's right, Nora. I mean, you know, you probably heard the expression that governors propose budgets and legislatures dispose. And that's really a succinct way of describing the process that will unfold from here on out. What we have today is a budget document that the legislature will change as Democrats and Republicans negotiate increases in spending or cuts that they want to see in there. And that dance between the two parties will take place over many weeks and months before they come up with an agreement. As always, the goal is to pass a budget before the end of the fiscal year that ends on June 30th. If the legislature doesn't do that, the state government will shut down, which has happened only twice before, but the most recent time being in 2017, when it closed for a few days because of a stalemate over the spending plan. The hope is that we won't get to that point. Democrats control the House and the Senate, but Republicans will play a key role in getting this budget over the finish line for sure.
We've been hearing for months that the pandemic and the restrictions to help curb outbreaks had a pretty big impact on the Maine economy. Is that reflected in the governor's proposal?
It is, but not in the way one would expect. She essentially put forward an $8.4 billion spending plan that's 0.75% higher than the 2-year budget that we're currently working under. In terms of dollars, it's an increase of about $51 million. But the big takeaway here is that there's no dramatic spending cuts, no tax increases, and really no new programs. Governor Mills described it as a no-nonsense, no-drama budget. It basically holds the line, and it includes a few modest increases, but those are primarily in public health and public education.
But at the same time, hasn't the pandemic created a big gap in revenue? Isn't it something like $1 billion?
Yeah, I mean, but that shortfall that you're talking about was based on revenue estimates from the summer that have since improved, resulting in a $630 million shortfall over the next three years instead. Now, that's still a really big number for the state of Maine, but a few things have happened to soften the blow. The big one, $7.6 billion in federal aid that came to the state after Congress passed the big COVID relief bill last spring. That spending package really helped Maine navigate a stalled economy. It provided forgivable loans to businesses, there were direct payments to residents, and there was additional money in the unemployment program. All of that is really important and probably the biggest reason why this budget doesn't have massive program cuts. Another reason. In October, Mills signed a curtailment order of about $220 million that trimmed spending throughout the state bureaucracy. We're talking about hundreds of nips and tucks in spending, but those trims saved hundreds of millions of dollars and really helped the state limp along through the fall. Some of those savings are continued in the new 2-year budget that begins in July of this year. The third reason, Nora, is that the revenue projections have since changed for the better, which means that the massive shortfall is significantly less than anticipated. This budget is built on those improved revenue forecasts.
But aren't revenue forecasts basically, estimates, predictions? And doesn't that mean this budget proposal is leaning on revenues that might not actually happen?
Absolutely. There's a science to those projections, but they're still projections. And that's in a normal time. This is not a normal time. You know, the key variable, the real wild card here is the pandemic. The new projections are basically based on a steadily improving economy, but the economy will only improve if the impact of the pandemic lessens. Now, that could happen. Vaccine rollout is underway, and if it actually goes according to plan, it seems realistic that the economy will gradually get better as things get, you know, we return to normal and there's more economic activity. But if it doesn't, then Maine is going to need more federal help. And it might get some more help anyway, because Democrats will soon take control of the White House and Congress. And that means that there could be a more robust relief package, you know, coming down the pike here. More direct payments to residents could be coming. If all of that happens and the pandemic is brought under control, then the state's economic outlook will get even better. But that's obviously a very big if.
All right. That's Maine Public's chief political correspondent, Steve Missler. Thanks, as always, Steve.
My pleasure, Nora.
Maine student athletes are eager for next week. That's when high school hockey and basketball games can resume under the state's COVID-19 protocols. But as Robbie Feinberg reports, schools have been required to make major changes in an effort to keep the contest safe during the latest surge in cases.
Last one here. Here you go.
Thursday night was a major milestone for the Orono Old Town High School hockey team. Inside Bangor's Sawyer Arena, pucks clanged and players crashed into the boards as the full team practiced together for the first time in months. While things look a little different, most notably the masks on the players' faces, senior Tanner Evans says he's glad to practice together after months of uncertainty about whether the season would actually happen.
I think it feels like hockey. You know, the only difference is the mask, and then it's a little tougher to breathe, and you get gas a little more quickly, but I think once this gets going, it will be the best that it can. So I'm glad that high school hockey's got off the ground and going, because I really want a senior season. I'm looking forward to it. So.
In November, state officials and the Maine Principals Association approved a plan to allow most winter sports to return. Lower-risk sports such as skiing, as well as moderate-risk activities such as basketball and hockey, were all given the green light to come back within a certain timeline. The return was delayed as cases have climbed, but by next week, schools will be allowed to compete against one another.
It's just that extra state of planning that I think everyone's in and going from there.
Jeremy Bousquet is the athletic director for Old Town High School, which combines its swimming and hockey teams with players from nearby Orono High School. Bousquet says bringing those two groups of athletes together safely has required navigating all kinds of complications.
You know, now we're not only, you know, crossing cohorts of kids, we're now going to be crossing, you know, schools in essence. We have that with swim and hockey.
To limit contact between the two groups, each school held separate tryouts. They've even designated specific swimming lanes and bench areas for athletes from each school. And during hockey practice, Bousquet says, administrators are initially limiting the amount of time that Orono and Old Town students spend together on the ice.
We're gonna run it almost as like Orono line and then Old Town lines. And then as the season progresses and kids are you know, I guess you could say together more and more often, we'd be able to start, you know, integrating more things into the approach.
Schedules have also been tweaked and limited geographically. In Caribou, athletic administrator Evan Graves says that instead of taking long car rides to the southern half of the state, teams will instead play schools of all sizes from around Aroostook County.
Not less necessarily looking at, oh, how fair is this, and micromanaging that piece. It's about getting the kids back to play.
Only those schools that are in counties the state has designated green, meaning that there's a relatively low risk of viral transmission, will be allowed to take part in hockey and basketball games starting Monday. That means programs in York, Oxford, Androscoggin, and Cumberland counties, which have been designated yellow, are still waiting to even begin practices for any winter sports.
Since like, you know, being in a bad dream and you know, being underneath a black cloud that just keeps on raining. No matter how fast you run, you're just underneath that black cloud all the time.
Rich Buzzle is the athletic administrator for Marshwood High School in Elliott. He says because York County has been designated green for just 4 weeks this school year, athletics have barely happened. Buzzell says the school is trying to continue with virtual workouts to keep students connected with each other.
But, you know, we're just hoping the numbers go down. We're hoping the, you know, people paid attention during the break and didn't travel as much as, you know, possible. And maybe the numbers will show that we can open up again and do some things.
Yet that appears to be unlikely for the immediate future as case numbers keep rising. And state health officials are closely monitoring numbers in Aroostook and Penobscot counties to gauge risk levels.
Come on, man! Don't just smash it!
But the pucks are still flying at the Orono Old Town hockey team practice. And senior Tanner Evans is just trying to enjoy the season while he can.
I'm just happy that we're getting to play, and I just really hope that we're able to play at least a few games, you know, cause just, I feel like if when we're playing hockey, we're not focused on everything else that's going on in the world.
Evans hopes that those games can keep going during a senior year that's already been drastically altered by the pandemic. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And that's today's Maine News. You can find more stories online at mainepublic.org. Have a good weekend. I'm Nora Flaherty.